Hello, the time is just a little past 7, and you're listening to Perpetual Notion Machine on WORT 89.9 FM, Madison. I'm your host tonight, Serena Zhao. So with summer fully underway, kids out of school and kids at heart might be looking for some activities to explore. And if you or someone in your care might be interested in some hands-on play relating to science, there's no better place to look this summer than the library. I spoke with Liz Boyd from the Madison Public Library to learn about their upcoming events and summer programming. Let's have a listen to our conversation. So thanks for joining us, Liz. Before we dive into the programming, can you give us an overview of the Madison Public Library system and who can use the library services and how people can access these?
Sure, yes. Yeah. So Madison Public Library is currently made up of 9 physical library locations. And then we also have a mobile library called the Dream Bus that is out on the road 5 days a week going to over a dozen locations. And this summer, we're doing some outreach with the Dream Bus. So the Dream Bus is attending some different events. They'll be at Mobile Madison events, a couple of Parks Alive events, and things like the Kennedy Heights Block Party. So we've got a list online of where all the Dream Bus will be this summer, but I think that's a nice one to include because if you can't make it into our physical locations, we have the mobile option.
Wow. This is the first time I've heard of the Dream Bus. What's on the bus and what can people do? Can you check out material?
Yeah, so the Dream Bus is basically a public library on wheels. So it fits about 2,700 materials, and we have books and DVDs and a lot of like Spanish language materials. We try and tailor it to the places that we're going to be going. So that collection changes pretty frequently. But we have things for adults and for kids. And yeah, you can go on the bus, you can browse, you can check out, you can get a library card there, pick up holds. So a lot of the same things that you would be able to do in one of our physical locations.
Wow. So you can request an item online and then ask to pick it up on the bus.
Yes.
Wow. Okay. How can I find out where the bus is going and when?
So the schedule is online at dreambus.org. And that's the most up-to-date place that you'll see the schedule.
Great, cool. So we'll have that listed on the show notes of the for PNM later on once we post it.
Great.
So other than the bus, which is so cool, what are some things that people can use through the library at maybe one of the branch locations or the central one?
Yeah, so I think that there's a lot of things that will surprise people about Madison Public Libraries. There's the usual services of being able to check out books, obviously, but we have DVDs as well. We have a lot of language learning materials that I think are a great resource for people. People can vote at the library. People can register to vote at the library. We also just brought on a new service called Canopy, which is a video streaming service. So you can watch movies and TV shows just by signing up with your library card. You get free content and you can watch that from home on your smart TV or your cell phone. So that's kind of a fun new service that we just added this year.
Wow, that's quite a perk.
Yeah.
Does it cost anything to get a library card?
It does not. Library cards are free and we try and keep all library services free.
Wow. Just as a refresh, in case anyone listening doesn't have their library card, what do you need to set one up?
So you need an ID, and typically we ask that you have an address. There are options and we can work with you if you don't have a permanent address.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, with just that, you have access to so many things. That's really exciting.
Thank you. Yes, we think so.
Yeah. So now that school's out, and people are in the mindset for exploration, I heard that there are a lot of opportunities for learning and activities at the libraries over the summer. Are there some events that you'd like to highlight that are coming up?
Yeah, sure. So I think we have a really wide range of events happening at the library this summer. We have a new program called Bubbler in the neighborhood. The Bubbler is our arts arm of Madison Public Library. And so they work with artists and bring in all of these creative endeavors, which is great. And this year, for the first time, we have a dedicated artist at each of our 9 libraries. So that person is going to be on site all summer, creating programming for kids and adults. They're doing at least one program a week, but then they're also going out to community events in the neighborhoods, including things like the Parks Alive events. So that's one thing. That's kind of the artistic side of things, but we also have a lot of programs that are more scientific and that gear toward STEM learning for kids.
Great. Why don't we start with some of the programs that are like recurring, maybe weekly or monthly or something?
Sure, yeah. So we have a teen and tween Minecraft club that's happening at Lakeview Library. And that happens on Mondays throughout the summer and probably into the fall as well, 4 to 5:30 p.m. And our librarian who runs that is our youth librarian. And she was saying that the club has existed before she was hired, but then she brought it back and it's really grown in popularity. They have kids who are bringing like their own mouse pads for Minecraft or dressing up in costumes and they wear masks and stuff. So it's gotten really in depth and they have a really good recurring group there, but are always happy to have new people as well.
Wow, it sounds really nice that you have a recurring group that you can really get tapped into a community.
Yes, so there's one kid who came the first time and then has become a regular, and he named his character Rick Astley, and then Rick rolled everyone for the next hour and a half.
Oh.
So there's some great kids, and it's a fun way to spend a couple hours during the summer.
Yeah, and you'll have to pardon my ignorance on this, but Minecraft is played on a computer, right?
It is, yeah. It's kind of a block and building game, and it ties into STEM because it helps kids learn teamwork, kind of the basics of architecture, computer operations, and some mathematical skills as well.
Great, yeah. So even like you don't need to have access to a computer at home if you want to kind of get into this kind of space. Do it at the library.
Yes, yeah, we have computers available and laptops available, so you can just come and play.
Wow, and so if you're on the computer, once again, I'm very ignorant about this game. If you go to one of these events, are you playing with the other people who are there, or are you all just kind of playing in general out, you know, in the internet?
This is a great question that I do not know the answer to. I think that they can play together, but I'm not positive.
Okay. Well, either way, worth checking out if you're interested in Minecraft or learning architecture. That sounds cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's every week.
That's every week on Mondays at Lakeview Library.
Great. Are there any other programs that maybe a different branch?
Yes. So there's a couple different ones. I will mention one that is STEM in the PM at Sequoia Library, and that's happening from June through like mid-August on Fridays from 1 to 3. And this is kind of a more self-led program, but they set out 3 to 5 different stations that have all of these like kind of maker kit materials, and kids can come in with their families or on their own and kind of experiment and kind of go at their own pace. There are some questions to prompt you, but it's geared toward like science-minded kids.
Is there an age group or age range this is kind of geared toward?
Well, so we used a resource that we developed called Early Childhood STEM Kits. One of our former librarians created these, and they are accessible. They're designed to be accessible for kids who are 3 to 5, but everyone from like 3 up to adults has like enjoyed these. But they have some like simple materials, and people are doing like chemical reactions and experiments with lights and symmetry. So there's all kinds of different things that kids can try out during that time period.
Wow. In terms of figuring out what to do with the kids, are they pretty much self-contained, or can folks contact whoever is, you know, find the librarian who's on staff at the time?
Yeah, so there's a teen volunteer who's in the room throughout the whole thing that they can ask questions to, and then librarians pop in and out as well. but a lot of these programs are ones that you can like replicate at home with some of like the same simple materials. And we also have an area on our website where people can check out these early childhood STEM kits for 4 to 6 weeks. So some like early childcare centers, preschools, 4K classrooms have done that in the past. So they are fairly self-contained.
Wow. Yeah. So you can even just check this out and do a chemical reaction at home.
Exactly.
Wow. That's great.
With parent approval.
Right. So, okay. So we've got the 3 to 5s, and the Minecraft sounds like whatever age can play.
It's teens and tweens specifically. Right. So kind of 12 to like 18.
Gotcha. Yep. Do you have any programming that kind of hits in between that, like maybe earlier grades?
Yeah. So we have a couple different things. We have Tinkering Tuesdays, which happens every week at Meadow Ridge Library, and that incorporates art and making and tinkering, and they do all kinds of different projects. There is a Maker Monday that's starting up at Goodman South Madison Library, and that's happening Mondays from 11 to 1 every week, and they'll have all these different kinds of kits as well that you can explore with, as well as these things called Makey Makeys. I don't know if you've heard of those.
No, what is that?
No, it's like a little device that has a cord, and it comes with alligator clips and a USB cable, but it basically can mimic a keyboard and a mouse. So they're kind of famous for creating like a banana piano where you touch like an actual banana and it creates like a song.
Wow.
So we'll be playing around with those and a couple of other things. And then I would say for middle grades, our Lego clubs are a great way to be involved. We have a ton of Legos from Madison Public Library, so you don't have to bring your own. We have a big collection. And it's basically just free form building. And those are happening at 3 different locations this summer: Sequoia, Pinney, and Central Library.
Wow. And, you know, some of these sound like adults might be interested too, asking for a friend. Is that okay for adults to come join and try some of these maker activities?
For some, yes. For some that are geared toward like young kids or teens and tweens, we try and keep those spaces kind of sacred for those age groups,
yeah,
just because we want people to feel safe and, you know, like they're able to explore without necessarily like adult presence. But there are some that would be open to adults.
Cool. So I guess the information or further information on any of these would be available on the library website.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Great. You know, as we've covered so far, there's so much that the library has to offer. I was wondering if you would be willing to share your thoughts on the role of, you know, public libraries in our communities, and how this is maybe changing as there's more electronic resources, or, you know, the way we use the library is changing.
Yeah, that's a really good question. I would say that the primary, kind of role of libraries traditionally, and one that continues to today, is being able to provide free information and allowing people to educate themselves about things that are important to them. And I think that that happens through our physical collection of books, but also through our myriad of other databases and resources that we have available. I would say the thing that has changed about libraries from maybe when we were younger is that libraries are now much more community spaces. So we're tied so much more into the community. We have, meeting rooms available that people can come and rent out for free. We have study rooms, we have space that people can use. And then we also are being proactive and going out into the community, engaging with all these different organizations and trying to meet people where they're at as well. So I think it's less about you have to come to the library and be inside and sit and read a book. And I think it's more about how can we make connections in our community, and how can we continue to foster growth and education for kids, but also for adults and anyone who's interested to learn.
That's great. Is there any way that library patrons can support the library system and, you know, kind of ensure that all these great offerings are able to continue?
Yeah, I think one way is just to come to events, come to programs, look and see what's available at your local library. I feel like we truly do have something for everybody. We have things, you know, for seniors, for kids, for teens, and every age group in between. So I would say just use the resources that are there available. We also have a library foundation, Madison Public Library Foundation. So if you want to give your time or volunteer, that's a great place to connect and see how you can help.
That's great. I just realized I might have turned away from the programming before we had a chance to cover everything. Were there any other recurring or maybe upcoming events that you want to highlight?
Yeah, sorry, there was one more that I wanted to talk about, and that is a science club that we're having at Pinney Library. So this is an outdoor program. It is subject to, you know, what the weather is doing, but it's happening every Thursday during the summer from 1 to 3 p.m. on the Pinney patio. And it's an opportunity, again, to kind of explore different scientific concepts in a hands-on, kind of creative and messy way. In the next couple of weeks, I know they're going to be making invisible ink. They're going to be cooking s'mores using a homemade solar oven and sprouting some lima beans in bags and a lot of other really fun and interesting projects. So, highly recommend that program as well.
Sounds great. Other than, or who runs these programs? So you mentioned the teen volunteer and the librarian who started the Minecraft club and whoever's on staff. How did these programs get developed? These are all such great ideas.
Well, so we have a group of youth services librarians that are dedicated to creating programs and events for kids. They also work with community partners. But then there's a whole slew of other staff members who are involved as well. We have library assistants, clerks, pages, all of these people help contribute to programs. But a lot of times our librarians are coming from other libraries or they're coming with their own certain areas that they're specialists in or have, you know, a lot of experience in. And so we let them lead often, but we also try and get a lot of feedback from the community and hear from kids and teens and families about what it is that they're looking for. So we try and do a lot of listening as well.
Yeah, if folks have any ideas of programs or something that they wish that you carried, is there a way to send in that feedback?
There is. On our website, we have an area where you can suggest a program or recommend a new book or a new collection or a new program or service. So I will make sure to share that with you so that you can include
Great. Yeah, that link will be available later tonight.
it.
Great. Yeah, so you mentioned that folks come into the library with a variety of experiences. And if you don't mind sharing, how did you end up working at the library?
Oh, great question. Yeah, so I am a marketing professional. I started out in communications and I had worked in publishing houses and then in tourism, kind of in all different places. I worked in Asheville, I lived in Edinburgh, Scotland for a while. So I've always been a marketing person, but I've also always been a huge book lover. And so it was my dream to be able to work somehow with books, and I got lucky and got to work for the library.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. Can you describe what some of your work entails? Because I think a lot of us, when we picture the library or who works at a library, it's the librarian telling you to shush. But there's so much more than that, it sounds like.
Yes. Yeah, so I do our social media. If you follow us on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, I'm the one creating that content. I help do website updates. I write press releases for upcoming events and programs and initiatives. I also help do like consultations with librarians and library staff who are creating programs to just make sure that all the logistics are in place. I send out email newsletters, so there's a lot under my umbrella.
Yeah, it's exciting. So there's so many ways to potentially get involved in the world of libraries for anyone who's thinking about various careers in STEM, which I guess is the theme of our show, or other things related to information. That's really exciting.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, I guess, are there any other initiatives or aspects of the library that you want to kind of shine a light on?
Well, I would say that this year we are getting to do outreach in a way that we haven't been able to the last couple of years due to COVID. So I think we're really excited about that. We started a new web page that is our community events page, so that if people are attending events this summer and they want to find us, they can see that whole list of where we're going to be. We're working with the City of Madison to be at Parks Alive events. I don't know if you've heard about Parks Alive yet. No, I mentioned it a couple times.
Yeah, you mentioned it a few times. Yeah, can you tell me more about that?
Yes, yeah. So this is like a huge collaboration between a lot of different City of Madison departments, including the Parks Department, the Community Development Department, and others. And they are making space in our parks this summer to hold time aside for neighborhoods to get together and be in community. So these are like 2 to 4 hour long events that have, all of them have a DJ or music. All of them have free food, food trucks. I think almost all of them have a movie in the park afterwards put on by Madison Parks. So the goal is to have just the space where people can come and interact with their communities. It's supposed to be really specific to these NRT neighborhoods, where, you know, people usually don't have as much access to different services. So it's really a way to connect with each other, but also to City of Madison services.
That's great. Where can we find out about when one is coming, you know, to our neighborhood?
Yeah, so it's on the Madison Parks calendar, and it's also on our community events page. Those are the best places to find upcoming events that are happening. And on our calendar, we have, you know, if one of our librarians or library staff are going to be there, we tried to add in a little bit more detail about what we'll be bringing to the park as well. So another community event that we're going to be at for adults is the night market downtown, the Madison Night Market. So we usually have a table there. We try and bring books and information about upcoming things that are happening. And we just like to meet people and sign people up for library cards at that event. And that's a really cool vendor event downtown, with a lot of great like local supplies and businesses that are there. So I think that's a really fun one, and we love being there. Another like very active event, if people are looking to get outside with their kids this summer, is a Wild Rumpus. We've been doing this for a couple years. This is an Anji play experience. So the goal is really to let it be child-led play. And we bring all of these materials like slack lines and ladders and giant boxes, and kids really get to kind of run wild and play how they want to play and let their imaginations run wild. And it's always fascinating to see the different things that they come up with and the different ways that they end up playing at these events. And those are happening at Rhinedale Park and Meadowood Park. There's 4 events at each one happening from now through the end of August.
Great. You said a word that I'm not familiar with. What? Tell me more about Anji play.
Yeah, so Anji play is an educational philosophy that's centered on self-determined play. It was created by a director of early education in Anji County, China. And this approach is based on 5 different pillars. So it's about love, risk, joy, engagement, and reflection. So part of the Wild Rumpus events is, you know, the kids are getting to lead their own play and figure out how they want to play. But then they also get an opportunity at the end to kind of draw and write and think about the play that they did. So they get to kind of tell their own play story as well. And I think that these events are kind of fun because it really challenges parents to, like, you know, stand back, watch your kids try and solve problems, you know, in front of you. It's really, I think it can be hard for parents to not want to step in and intervene and say, oh, watch out, be careful. Oh, you know, you might want to move this to the left or do this. So I think it's a really interesting, like, kind of thought experiment for parents and for kids, but the kids always have an amazing time.
Great. So there's a few of these events over the summer, sounds like?
Yes. So there's 8 of these events.
Oh, wow.
4 are happening in Rhinedale Park and 4 are happening in Meadowood Park.
Wow. Okay. There's a lot of opportunity for child-led play then. That's great.
Yeah, I think that's a fun one because it's outdoors and, you know, it's a great way to burn off a little bit of energy too.
Yeah. Great. Thank you.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at the events calendar now, and there's just so many things every day. You can really fill up your whole day. This is really great. Well, thank you so much, Liz, for coming in and sharing with us about all the exciting things happening going on, or only a small subset of the exciting things happening at the library. Thank you for your time. And if anyone has questions, you can check out the library website, and we'll have links up in the notes. And yeah, thank you for joining us.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
So that was my conversation with Liz Boyd, marketing specialist at the Madison Public Library. Links to events and programs that we talked about will be available on the WORT website, wortfm.org. And PNM is looking for more volunteers. So if you're curious about science, radio production, or are a social media whiz, because we definitely need that too, you can go to wortfm.org and get in touch with our volunteer coordinator, or send us an email at scienceonwort@gmail.com. So that's scienceonwort. Or if you've got a question about some sort of scientific topic that you'd like us to investigate, we would love to be sent on a quest. So you can email us at the same place, scienceonwort@gmail.com. Perpetual Notion Machine will be back next Thursday. And up next is Radio Literature.